The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Praise God. We're talking about war. Because we are in war. This is a war. This is an all-out battle. And I took this topic from the song of Edwin Starr that he made it popular in 1969. It was an anti-Vietnam War song. Just about everybody has probably at least heard that song at one time or another. Even those of you who are probably, what would you have to be below 40 to have heard it back when it was popular? I mean, above 40. But anyhow, the song was, it was a song that was opposed to Vietnam War. And the reason I use this is that I'm not taking sides of whether we should or shouldn't have been involved with the Vietnam War. What I am saying is that the reality is that war was never declared for the Vietnam conflict. They call it a conflict. Congress never declared war. Now, those who fought in it, those who are a part of it, those who remember it as a vicious war. So regardless of whether it is declared or not, when there is that kind of violence that is going on between two countries, it is war. It's all-out war. Now, the reason I'm saying that is because I want you to understand there are people in the body of Christ that are telling, that are teaching the body that we're not in a battle. That there's no battle going on. You know, the enemy has been defeated. In reality, many of them are saying there really wasn't any enemy in the first place. It was all conjured up and it was all in people's minds. Jesus just went along with the teachings of the day when he was here on earth to make people feel good about themselves or, you know, feel bad about themselves or something. I'm not sure what it was. But those are crazy things that are being said and being taught. They're saying that you're not going to have any kind of battle with an enemy because there isn't any enemy. There isn't any war going on. And the reality is there are casualties of this war every day. There are casualties of this war in the world, and there's casualties of this war in the church. Because the church does not know who they are in Jesus Christ. We need to recognize two things. We need to know that we have weapons of warfare that we can use on a daily basis to defeat the enemy. The second thing is we need to know that we have a position that we need to take in Christ. We'll talk a little bit more about that. And if we know those two things, we are more than conquerors in Christ. We are victorious. Hallelujah. I want us to walk in that in this church. I want us to recognize it. The first thing we talked about, we are at war. Number two, our enemy is organized. Ephesians 6, 10 through 12 tells us that our enemy is an organized enemy. There are several places where we see that Satan is the head of the opposing forces. He is on the dark side. He is the enemy himself. He's called the God of this age, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and he is called the prince of this world in several places. 1 John 5:19, he's the prince of this world. John 12:31, the God of this age. And Ephesians 2:2, he is the ruler of the kingdom of the air. He is the ruler. Satan is the ruler. But being a ruler, just the mere mention of a ruler means that evidently he has subjects, right? In any kingdom, if you read even in the Old Testament, you see that kingdoms had different areas of authority and rank. Remember Daniel? when he went into the Babylonian captivity, he rose to a position of prominence in that kingdom because the wisdom of God was upon him, and he served the living God. But he had rank in that kingdom. Satan has a kingdom, and in that kingdom there are principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. And we need to recognize that these forces are well organized. There are forces, principalities, rulers. That particular word there means governors. They govern a certain amount of demonic forces. They're powers, implying authority. There are those that have other authorities and other powers. There are rulers, world forces. There are world rulers that have been set up by the kingdom of Satan to rule this world. And then it says that there are spiritual hosts. Those are the ground troops. Those are the ones that are the imps that are running around, the ones that's trying to possess and control and deceive people. But they're all a part of this kingdom of darkness that wants to destroy God's people and the whole world. They just hate people. But I want to tell you something, because you have the living God inside of you, you've received Him as your personal Savior, Jesus Christ, they hate you even more. But here's the good news. The good news of this whole thing is that you are above them. They are under your feet. You have authority over them. There is nothing they can do to stop you and hold you back. But the problem I see in the body of Christ is there are so many believers that are living under the authority of the enemy rather than rising above him like they're supposed to. We have this. And we're going to talk some about this. It's so important for us to see it. Number three, I talked about believers must engage in the battle. And we're going to just pick up right there and talk about engaging in the battle. Look at 2 Timothy. We're going to look at a lot of scripture this morning as we go through this. I want you to see what the Bible says about this. So important. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Okay, first of all, he said, look, here is a key to living a peaceable life. Prayers, interceding, praying for leaders, lifting them up, making sure it doesn't matter whether you agree or disagree with their philosophies and their principles, their lifestyle, it doesn't matter. Doesn't say that. Doesn't say only pray for the ones you agree with. It says pray for your leaders. Lift them up. We have a lot of leaders right now that I do not agree with. In all parts of government. Does not stop me from praying for them. I pray that they will get God's wisdom on every circumstance and situation that arises. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy. Okay, what do I got? 2 Timothy. All right. Well, I was just preaching along on the scripture that I hadn't even chose. Hallelujah. It was right on, wasn't it? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. All right, so anyhow, we're going to pray for them. And we are going to lift them up regardless. But this is a key to spiritual warfare. Now, let's go to 2 Timothy, since you're already there and I haven't been. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 1 through 4. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses. Commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Okay, this goes right along with what I was already talking about in 1 Timothy. Listen, we have a responsibility, and we need to be about accomplishing that responsibility. One of the things that we always have to do is pray. Pray regularly. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our nation. Pray for our community. Pray for our churches. We're not in competition with any other church, you know, except when we play softball, right? Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Softball team started yesterday. They played Soul Harvest. Well, they dropped that one, but that happens sometimes. Happened last year, right? Happened last year. First game, came back and won the whole thing. Didn't have any cheerleaders? Okay, we need to get that straightened out. Need cheerleaders. Okay, all right. We need to get people out there, huh? Yeah, hallelujah. We're not in competition with them. I mean, that's fun, and yeah, we want to win, absolutely. But when we step on the softball field or any other sport, we may have some competition going on there, but we're not in competition in the kingdom.
That's right.
You know, this is about building the kingdom of God. This is about lifting up God's people. It's about understanding who we are in Christ. It's about teaching and training people to walk in the power of God for their life. Listen, when you feel like that you have a crisis in your life and you have to call some spiritual superior person to come and pray for you, there's problems. Now, it's not that we can't call other people to come and pray with us. But if you have the mentality that someone else has more power and authority with their prayers than you do, you're wrong. You have the same authority that was delegated to the first believers when Jesus left this earth. Same authority. And Pastor Rob has no more authority than you have. The only difference comes is when we get in the position and we recognize who we are and what kind of authority we have. And I do know that there are times that you just feel like we're weak. I get that way too. And I need people around me to pray for me, to intercede for me, to lift me up, to help me. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that. I just don't want you to get the mentality that there's some kind of super spiritual person or people that's going to come into your life and take authority over the devil for you. It's not the way it works. You have to do it for yourself. You have to do it for your family. You have to do it for your loved ones. And when you do that, the enemy flees. The enemy cannot stand in the presence of a believer that understands who they are in Christ and pleads the blood of Jesus. It makes them flee. All right, this scripture is telling us that we got to be good soldiers. Good soldiers. I don't know how many of you in here have been in service, armed services. Randy has, two Randys, both of them. Is that it? All right, for those two guys, they understand what it means to be a soldier. They understand what it means to have physical discipline because they force you to have physical discipline. At least for a time period. You understand what it is to get this body in shape and have authority over it. And that's exactly what he's implying here. That we have to recognize that we are soldiers in this war. And a good soldier does not allow himself or herself to become caught up in the things of the world and of the enemy. They keep their focus on what their calling and their purpose is as a soldier. So he's saying to us, do not be distracted by other things of this world. Do not be distracted by the tactics of the enemy and the wiles of the enemy. Because the enemy wants, that's his purpose, is to try to distract you from your ultimate goal, and that is to be a good soldier for Jesus Christ. Paul in Ephesians, he talks about wrestling. Wrestling. We wrestle not with flesh and blood. I'm not in this battle against any person or even people group. Right? I'm fighting against Satan. I'm fighting against principalities and powers, rulers of darkness of this world. All these principalities. I'm wrestling with them. Now that word wrestle there, we get the idea when we start thinking about wrestling, we think about, you know, the kind of wrestling that they do at high school. Or maybe even the Olympics, where they try to pin each other. There's usually, most of the time, there's not any blood. Once in a while, there's an accident. And somebody gets their nose smashed or something happens. There's some kind of something that takes place that hurts somebody. But most of the time, it's pretty, you know, it's that kind of competition, it's pretty passive. But that's not what Paul's talking about. You see, wrestling in his day was a different kind of sport. Wrestling in his day, they could jab people in the eye. They could bite. They could kick. They could strangle. They could do all kinds of horrible things. Sometimes they would even wear, if you've seen these the spike things that you can wear when you're, not just what are they called? The brass knuckles. Not just the brass knuckles, but the ones with the spikes on them. They could do things like that. So it wasn't just wrestling. It was a gruesome, horrible sport. And Paul is saying that we do not fight that way against flesh and blood. We fight that way in the spirit realm. We fight to defeat the enemy. We fight to put our adversary down. We fight to spiritually cause him and cause them to be completely and utterly destroyed spiritually. There was a letter written, it's historic, they have it from history during that time period, and it's a letter from a wrestler that he wrote to his dad, and the dad corresponded with him. And it's very clear that in this correspondence that this guy that was a wrestler knew that he may give up his life while he was wrestling in this sport. And the father recognized it. And they both had come to grips with the reality that the son may die. The reason was because these wrestlers felt like it was life and death for them. What they would do today is, you know, pat out. If they were to do that, they might as well be dead, because they would be humiliated. No one would ever want to be in their sight. No one would ever want to talk with them. It was to the death. What I'm trying to explain to you this morning is that this battle that we are in is life and death battle. And we can win this battle as long as we recognize and we walk in the authority that Jesus Christ has given us. We have it. I was thinking about this morning when all the things were going on, and how, you know, Ivy gave that word, and then Terry came up and said what she said about the about God's presence and joy followed up. But, you know, God spoke to Terry and said, you know, I'm here. You see, we have God here. We don't act like it sometimes. We act like, you know, God's way out there in the distance. We believe that song of Bette Midler, you know, that he's watching us from a distance. That's the way we act. But he's right here. He's right there wherever you go and whatever you do. You can't hide from him. He's in here. So here's what I want you to understand. His presence is always here with us. The battle is not whether I can be close to him. That's what God told Terry this morning. I'm here. The battle is, are we going to recognize? Are we going to accept? Are we going in our mind, are we going to receive God's presence with us? Because that's where the battle takes place. We're waging it in our minds of whether we will believe God or we're going to believe the lies of the enemy. And the enemy is going to lie to you every time. He wants to defeat you, and that's where he can defeat you, is with his lies. This is war. We need to recognize we're in war. I don't care what any of the other liberal theologians say, we are in a war. We need to recognize we're in a war. We're in a cultural war. Do you know that? For the very life of the people that we love and care about. Now, this thing with Chick-fil-A, this, you know, the past week they had a time of supporting Chick-fil-A, and everything that I read about it, Christians conducted themselves very well. Anybody hear any negative about the Christians? I think they handled. There was some protests. Christians and employees at Chick-fil-A actually went out and offered food, free food and free drink to the people protesting. That's the way we should be conducting ourselves. We can take a stand for what we believe in, but we do not do battle the same way the enemy does. Now, listen to me. What Dan Cathy, who his father was the founder of Chick-fil-A, can't remember his name right off the top of my head, but anyhow, Dan Cathy made a statement that brought all this about. I want you to hear what he said. He said, I support the traditional biblical mandate of marriage, one man and one woman. That's all he said. He didn't blast anybody. He didn't say anything negative about homosexuality. He just said that. And that's what brought about all the controversy toward Chick-fil-A. Now, one writer actually said, who was in support of the homosexual community, said this. She said, she wrote and she said that the homosexual community, of course they call them gay rights activists. I don't think there's anything gay about it. Now, I try not to use that term because that softens the sin that they're involved with. Okay? So homosexuality, being the sin that it is, does not mean that we hate people. It means that we take a stand for what is right biblically, and we will love the people. But when it comes to this situation, Dan Cathy took a stand, and his father took a stand many years ago. His father, who is a strong believer in Jesus Christ, was struggling with his business, and he believed that God spoke to him and said, I do not want you to do business on Sunday. Wow, huh? Now listen, that's a big deal. When everybody else says you get a huge amount of your profits coming in on Sunday. And he was obedient to the Lord. He said from that point on, his business skyrocketed. And he stopped having Sunday sales. Now, God spoke to him about doing that, and he was obedient. That's good. We're talking about being obedient to the Lord in regards to this. So they have a long history of doing what they believe is right biblically. And this situation was not meant. What he said was not meant to point fingers at people. It was meant to take a biblical stand on the principles that are in the Word of God. Marriage, one man, one woman. Who knows where this thing might end if it keeps going? It will get out of control. The enemy wants there to be nothing but chaos in this nation. John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly." Boy, is that good news or what? Abundant life. Overflowing. More than enough. More than you can handle. That kind of life. But the enemy has come for this purpose, to steal from you. He's the thief. And to steal, klepto. We get our word kleptomaniac from that Greek word. It means to steal, to take something that does not belong to you. You see, that's what the enemy wants to do. He's lying to God's people so that he can take something that does not belong to him. It's yours, and it will always be yours. And you can keep it. But he'll take it if you let him. He'll take it right away from you. He wants to kill. He wants to slaughter, kill, butcher. We can look around everywhere and see this taking place. We see it in wars. We see it in all kinds of cultures. We see it in nation after nation where they're slaughtering one another. We're seeing it on the streets, in our communities, even in our schools. These things are happening. Destroy. He wants to cause you to come to ruin. He wants destruction in your life. I want you to know this truly is war. And you and I must understand and not be passive toward this enemy that we have. He's not going to leave you alone if you're passive. He wants to take everything you have. He wants to take your territory that God has given you. And we got to fight against him, actively fight against him. Turn with me to 1 John 4. 1 John. Books of John are right before Revelation. Got 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and Revelation. 1 John. First thing he says here, beloved, he's talking to believers, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know that the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and now already is already in the world. You see, the spirit of Antichrist, we've been waiting for the Antichrist, waiting for the Antichrist, waiting for the Antichrist. The spirit of the Antichrist has been here. It's been around. Yeah, there's going to be a manifestation of a man that is going to be the embodiment of Satan in this earth. I don't know exactly how that's going to take place, but what Satan is doing, he's counterfeiting what God did with Jesus. So there is one coming. But the spirit of Antichrist has always been around. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Man, once again, good news. The enemy comes. But we have the ability to test the spirits. And we need to be aware, we need to be on top of our game and be able to test those spirits and know whether those spirits are of God or not. If those spirits are not of God, get rid of them. Kick them out in the name of Jesus. Do what Jesus says. It is written. Get thee behind me, Satan. You have the authority to do that. The power. And they flee. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. Let's go there real quick. Now, 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 4. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. The Spirit expressly tells us that in the last times, some will fall away. Why will they fall away? Because they're listening to demonic forces. It's going to happen. It is happening and it has happened. It's happened all down through the centuries. It has happened and it's just part of the Christian church. Some people will not abide by sound doctrine. They do not have the Word of God in them enough to be able to understand the principles that God has established them on. Therefore, they hear these doctrines of demons, which sound good. And what happens? It draws them away. Now, I know that there was a teaching of that there's going to be this great falling away before Jesus Christ comes, but I don't believe that. I think that it's going to continue just like it always says. There's going to be some fall away because they don't listen to sound doctrine. But I also believe there's going to be a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit in these last days. That falling away that he was talking about the Jews. He was speaking specifically to the Jewish people, and that has already happened. There's been a great falling away of them. But there's going to come a time when they're going to turn back and see that Jesus is the Messiah. The church of Jesus Christ has been placed here to be an authority of the kingdom of God in this earth. We're an extension of God's kingdom from heaven to this earth. And we have been placed here to walk in authority, to take dominion, to pull down the strongholds of the enemy. And until we recognize who we are in Jesus Christ, the enemy is going to continue to take territory that's ours to have. It's ours. And we got to stop hiding out and waiting for the enemy to come, the Antichrist to come and take over while we're hiding away in our caves. We're going to get out there and do something for the kingdom. We're going to keep building it. We're going to establish it. We're going to recognize who we are. And we're going to know that as we go forward, the principalities and powers are going to try to stop us. But when we have those encounters in the name of Jesus Christ, they are already defeated. They are defeated foes. When we put them down and we walk on them, we trample on them because they are nothing. They really are. They're nothing because of the blood of Jesus. Jesus, it says that Jesus took the keys from them of death and hell. Snatched it from them. Took it right away from them. They had some authority at one time, but no longer. Jesus came back. The second Adam came and did what the first Adam gave up. He took back the authority that God intended for mankind to have in this earth. You see, if you and I become passive in this battle, we'll get to the place where we'll heed doctrines of devils. Come on. And we'll hear demonic spirits saying things that are not of God. We've got to be active. We've got to engage ourselves in this battle. We've got to recognize that we have a sword right here. We have a weapon that is called the sword of the Spirit that gives us the ability to dice up the enemy. But unless we know what it says, unless we're able to use that thing, unless we can take our battle stance the way we're supposed to, with this as our authority, we will let the enemy have the things that God intended for us to have. I'm talking about our marriages. I'm talking about our community. I'm talking about our children. I'm talking about our finances. I'm talking about the things that God wants us to have and walk in and to receive. I'm talking about God's goodness. I'm talking about that abundant life that Jesus said we could have. Amen. Stand with me.
Hi, this is Pastor Rob Barber. Thanks for listening to our message today. We're excited about what God's doing here at Bethel Worship Center and in the body of Christ at large in 2012. If you'd like to learn more about the ministries here at Bethel, please visit our website at www.bethelwc.org. God bless you and have a great day.